This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by JulieBeforeYouDig.com.
I think we'll be trying to go for the best player that we can get. And you always want to be in that position. That's something that I've kind of learned about and hearing from the vets and things like that. And, you know, just been around this past year, you know, when you draft and be in those positions, you want to be in position to get the best player. And I think right now we're in position to be able to just, you know, get the best guy that we think is needed for the team. And I don't know what the needs are. Y'all probably have a better idea than me, but I think, you know, the group we have right now is amazing.
That was Caleb Williams. We know he was talking about the draft and what he thought about it. That was at Halas Hall a little over a week ago, and we go back to Halas Hall as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have the audio. Ryan Poles spoke at Halas Hall today. NFL draft is on Thursday. Let's bring it to you now, courtesy of your local Hyundai dealers.
First, I want to give a shout out to our head coach for his work on the mound the other day. I thought that was pretty special. I wasn't sure what to expect. I thought he was going to come with some speed, but he actually had some movement, which I thought was awesome. So want to congratulate Rome and TJ for the Piccolo Award. Both guys, very deserving, great teammates, great players. Rome's a guy that, you know, I believe is going to take the next step. He's putting the work in now and get himself prepared. And with great coaches with him too, and I think he'll take the next step, which is really exciting for all of us. And TJ, obviously, unbelievable teammate, leader, someone that we lean on to depend on to carry our defense. It's been really cool to see him grow. And really, when I get into TJ, we talk about the extension too. Really happy to get that done. You look at, you know, right now our guys are going to start preparing for the undrafted free agent process. And when you see a guy like that go from being undrafted, working himself into his first contract, elevating his game again, and getting a second contract, I think that's special. And I think that motivates all the other guys that come in the door. And again, no one's more deserving than he is. Kyler as well, really happy to get that done. Impact player for us, ability to make plays all over the field in different phases. He's a guy that I believe is ascending and will continue to grow. And when he gets into this new defense, I think his game can go to the next level as well. With the draft, I'm going to give the opportunity for Ian to come up and talk about our preparation. Feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild, but we're going to be prepared for all the different scenarios that pop up. The time working with Ben throughout this has been great. Some really good communication, some great discussions as we set the board and get prepared for the draft in a couple of days. I'll open it up.
What makes you say that?
What part?
You think this draft in particular is going to be wild? What specifically are you thinking of when you say that?
Yeah, I think it's deeper in certain areas than others. Usually the cutoff is a little bit quicker. I think once you kind of get into 2-3, and this one's going to be a little bit different. So I think there's going to be a lot more movement than there has been in the past.
In what ways have you felt Ben's impact during this draft?
Yeah, so we spent time together just in the room and working through the board and having some really good discussions. I think it's important to understand in terms of the scheme and how we're built, and I think it's going to take time figuring that out, what we're going to be good at. But what do we certainly want to have to create an advantage for our team and get off to a good start? And then obviously, as a head coach, you have to have those discussions with the defense as well and pick in DA's mind. So those discussions have been really good.
When you say that, you think there's going to be a lot more movement, there's kind of this idea out there now that teams in the top 10 might have a little bit harder time trading back. Do you see it that way or the opposite?
Potentially. There's a lot of phone calls going on right now, so it's hard to tell today. But I think as we get closer, it'll start to show itself.
With 2 days to go, how large is the pool of players you're looking at right now for pick 10?
Yeah, there's a large pool of very good football players. And then I think you can do some different things to get more players that are going to be able to come in and help your team quickly.
Brian, as it relates to draft preparation, how do you view Dunnell right? Do you see him exclusively on the right side, or are you open-minded to shift him into the left if something materializes that way?
Yeah, I think that's a conversation. We'll see how everything goes. He clearly has the ability to play left and right. We saw that in college. That was part of the value. And taking Darnell. So if he had to play left, I think he'd play left. And obviously, I think we're all excited about his stuff to go right.
With the offensive tackle in the draft, why do you think there doesn't seem to be a consensus on the rankings? I'm sure you have your rankings solid, but it just nationally, it seems like different guys are in different places.
I'm not sure.
Is it because of...
I think it's just whoever's watching the player has an opinion on what they like, what they don't like. Every player is going to have holes. It's how you project them to play in your scheme, in your system, and do they have the traits and tools to overcome their deficiency? So it's just the flavor that you're looking for.
Ryan, with those extensions, when you trade for Joe Tooney, it's obviously a big move. Mm-hmm. It's safe to say you're hoping to have him here for more than 1 year. Would he be next in line for an extension?
Yeah, that's definitely, I would say, one of the priorities moving forward.
Ryan, how does having those four picks through 72 help you?
Yeah, they're very valuable to us. I think we can do some really good things to add to our football team and bring good players in.
It sounded like TJ Edwards to not only one, but his second contract. Now, maybe look at the undrafted market a little bit differently, like there are gems that can be gotten here that can be starters and impact players on the team.
Yeah, and I think with today's landscape, college landscape, I think you're going to see a lot more guys like that, guys that have been developed that stayed the extra year. I think there's going to be a high volume of those players. We challenge our group to we take that very seriously. We pair up with the coaches. Ian can get in kind of the details of that. But that's what you're looking for. If you can hit a couple of those guys per year, you're cooking.
Ryan Poles talking about the draft that was brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And he said a lot without saying anything. Like, I liked when Brad Biggs asked him about the pool he had to choose from at 10, and he just basically said there's a lot of people.
Sounds like they're open to see how it lands.
The big note was what he said about how it can get a little wild in this draft. That was very interesting, given that we have not seen a lot of pre-draft trade pick movement.
I think the movement he's talking about is going to be more second round, day mm-hmm. two stuff, mm-hmm. because that's where also the Bears have a couple of picks. So it makes sense why, from his vantage point, things could get wild. He might want to trade up. He might want to trade back. It's all about getting the players that you need once 10 passes, if there's no trade there. I thought it was interesting that he did, after not initially wanting to seemingly answer the question, he did say that it could potentially be harder to trade back because of the way this draft is set up And the biggest news for me is just this idea that he didn't shoot down Darnell Wright moving to the left side at left tackle.
Because yeah.
if he can play left tackle, that can change the algebra or the calculus, geometry, whatever you choose to use. Physics, no, though, because I'm not good at that. It could change what your formula is for finding your best five offensive linemen.
I thought that, that was valid. The other piece of this that was actually news was him saying that Joe Tooney's extension is a priority.
So that changes even what you thought maybe somebody who's helping out in the temporary, whereas it could be a longer term solution.
Right. Like that is valid news. Like that was probably one of the biggest actual takeaways was him saying that extending Joe Tooney is a priority for the team moving forward. So that was big. You see a plan there now with what the future is for him on this team.
I'll be interested to see if that gets done before the season.
I also like that Poles said that Ian Cunningham is going to talk a lot about the draft and the draft process, as much as he has interviewed with teams. And yes, I have talked about the Bears record, but it is a good way to show potential employers and other teams what he's doing and how capable he is of running this and talking about teams and scouting scenarios. Like, I like that Ian Cunningham is being focused on in this process as well.
Anything to get a couple of extra draft picks, put that man on display.
It's not even that, though. It's also promoting your people. Like, I actually think that that's a very valid thing to do. And if he's going to answer a lot of the questions that we have, I think that that benefits everyone. We get to hear from a different voice, and he gets to show why he's considered so highly regarded with this team. Some of the quotes, for example, Chris Emma coming through with this one. We're going to have Chris at 125 now. Is that correct? I know it's a changing scenario at Hallis
1245,
Hall.
Actually.
1245 for right. Emma? Okay, yeah, because we're trying to bring you this stuff as it happens. So that's why we're a little bit loose on the timing. But like, for example, this quote from Ian Cunningham. This is from Chris. On the Bears' potential interest drafting a running back early, he says, yeah, we weigh premium position versus non-premium position. But at the end of the day, it's a playmaker. If we see him in that role, I think you can go take a playmaker that's not at a premium position. So, again, just a little more insight than what we had previously.
Another good quote from Ian Cunningham, quote, when asked about considering moving up from pick 10, quote, depends what the cost is, who the player is, the value. We are weighing those right now. We'll see on draft night.
He also said this is from CHGO Bears, the amount of top-tier talent, while it's good, the volume isn't necessarily there. And that's about this year's draft class. So that indicates to me, if they're saying that, and then they're also talking about how it could get wild, that means that the good players, the ones that are really high on teams' draft boards, they're going to try to do a lot to try to get them. Now, we heard Stacey Dales also ask him about the value of the top four picks that he has in 1 through 72. I agree with Ryan Poles. Those should be of importance as to not only the amount of them I would like to stay at four, but also how those four individuals can impact your team. Luke Kanellis had a really good conversation with Poles at the owners' meetings about that very thing.
Where he talked about three, but if things fall right, it could be four impact players out of those four. I think it should be four.
And he said very valuable, which for him, the way he said it and how he emphasized it, I found that to be very important in all of this too. So we're getting some feeds of like pictures from Ian Cunningham too. Nice to see just other people at the podium. This is funny. The quote saying from CHGO Bears, Ian Cunningham on sitting out the coaching search initially while taking interviews for GM vacancies in the offseason. Personally, it was awkward. I can understand why. Also, you're not allowed to do your job, or you're trying to focus on getting a job, but you're not doing as much of the job that you're still doing.
He was also asked, Ian Cunningham, about his work with Ben Johnson after he was hired as head coach. This from Matt Zine over at CBS Chicago. Called him, quote, authentic, genuine. He added that Johnson is, quote unquote, super flexible when it comes to bringing in players, draft, or free agency. Quote, just give him talent. He's going to make it work, end quote.
And now also, I know we alluded to this earlier, Brian Piccolo Award winners Rome Odunze and TJ Edwards are also talking today at Halas Hall. But Ben Johnson, man of many skills, also wrote a poem. Did he read the poem? And we have it? Let's take a listen.
You know, 3 months ago, I walked in the building for the first time, and one of the first questions I needed answered was, who is this guy going to work out in his short shorts and his headband? And that was Pat McCaskey. And I'll never forget, one of the first things out of your mouth was how special this award ceremony was and if I could be involved in it in some way. And so thank you for having me here today. You're also renowned on the streets for being a poet and a songwriter. I'm a numbers guy, Pat, and so I had to use a little outside help, but I do have a poem I would like to share to honor Brian Piccolo. Is that okay? Okay. It's called More Than a Jersey. He wore the C upon his chest, not just in games, but in each test. A bear by number, name and grace, but more than that, a steady face. He wasn't picked in any round or fame, no headlines danced around his name. Yet still he fought and still he rose, a quiet strength the whole team knows. With courage burning deep and true, he gave his all in all he'd do. Not just in wins, but every day, he led with heart in every play. He stood for loyalty and trust, a friend, a guide, both firm and just. He showed that greatness doesn't shout, but lifts others up day in and day out. His life was marked by dedication, a model for each generation. Each practice moment, snap and stride, he gave the game his soul and pride. When illness came, he met the storm with strength that moved beyond the norm. And though his race was far too brief, he left behind a bold belief that love is real in brotherhood, that fighting back is doing good, that joy and grit can coexist, that every name deserves a list. Today we see his spirit rise in steadfast hands and fearless eyes. And though he's gone, his story grows, a legacy that never slows. Thank you.
Okay, that all makes sense now that I know the context of him running into Pat McCaskey, who we know is not afraid to get on the mic.
Pat McCaskey, is he of Orange and Blue, correct?
Urlacher, Urlacher, fills gaps and makes tackles. Orange and Blue, cover two. You have won the Piccolo. Forces, fumbles, sacks, quarterbacks.
I can't do it.
Makes key interceptions.
Lock two in.
Urlacher, Urlacher. We hope you play forever.
Wow.
You said you couldn't do it, but you did it. You were able to bear the brunt of it.
I'm paid per the hour.
You served well in your duties as a listener on that one. I'll take the written poem and the reading of a poem over the singing. How about that?
We have two excerpts of sound now. Yes, Ray?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, Ben Johnson just redeemed the Chicago Sports Poet Society with this poem, because all we had before that was Dylan Cease and Oh Slider Slide, and that thing was not great.
Okay, but I didn't hate it as much as Dan.
Oh, I got you. I mean, I don't have, you know, much hatred for it, but it wasn't that good.
I appreciate people who have creative outlets. Nobody ever said your creative outlet needs to be a side hustle.
Yeah, I'm with Marshall, so this is basically what I'm saying. I'm just saying mid in comparison to what Ben Johnson put out there today.
He's saying Slider, Oh Slider doesn't have the same effect as Dylan Cease's actual slider.
Well, yeah, that's a huge comparison.
But
that's like saying my basketball skills compared to Giannis. Like, what are... Yeah.
Okay. I'll roll with that. I just think side hustle isn't the first thing that comes to mind with any of the extracurriculars that we've just delved into.
You don't think Ben Johnson could be a sports poet as a side hustle?
I think he'd do whatever he wants as a side hustle in the city of Chicago right now because people just buy it up. They'll lap it up.
What if he's like, they'll lap it up. I'm Ben Johnson, head coach of the Bears and sports poet.
Like a dog who's been out in the heat too long comes in and gets, he attacks the water. You see a dog come in from hot outside? Oh, yeah, you lived in Texas. My bad. Yeah.
Go on.
Just lapping up the water and you're like, okay, I need more water. Where's the rest of the water? And the water bowl was full. Now it's empty. That's how Chicago would react to Ben Johnson just throwing this stuff on eBay or something.
I mean, it was a nice poem.
It was interesting.
I like creativity. I don't know.
I do too.
You know what creativity begets? More creativity. Do you know what that begets? Trick plays.
That's actually a good point. I can't argue the point you just made.
Nope.
I am in agreement with you.
Exactly. So keep writing poems or something because, you know, that leads to other things. I'm just saying. Lakers in five. No, not actually. Not this time.
I don't think so.
More to come on The Score. We have more from Hallis Hall. TJ Edwards spoke. Chris Emma is coming up. He's got a little bit more intel. Apparently Ryan Pohl says this is going to be a wild draft. Can't wait.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With 2 days to go, how large is the pool of players you're looking at right now?
Yeah. There's a large pool.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I see what you did there, Robbie Triano. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is like, I think, one of my favorite songs, if I have to be honest.
Who's the artist? What is this?
Swimming Pools by Kendrick Lamar. Why are you asking like you don't know?
Oh, I was just trying to get you to clarify for the audience. Kendrick Lamar? Okay, got it.
His first name is Kendrick. Last name is Lamar.
I'll look it up.
He performed at a Superb Owl.
Oh, what? Okay. I'm actually going to see Kendrick Lamar in Philly, so y'all be without me on Cinco de Mayo.
So jealous.
Going to see him at the Link with some friends.
That is going to be a fantastic
now,
show.
Now, I got called out because I thought that I was, because I personally am more hyped to see SZA than Kendrick Lamar. I thought that was a perfectly reasonable take.
People were jumping on me.
SZA
is wonderful and arguably one of the better writers in song we have right now, who's also an artist. I will say this. I've heard Kendrick Lamar puts on the best live show.
Yeah.
Ray put his headphones on because he knows.
I saw Kendrick, they did like a Labor Fest thing. I forget what it's called, back in the day in Philly, and I saw him there too. So
one of my great regrets was not standing in line for 2 hours for a free Kendrick Lamar show at South By.
Yeah, you got it. The free shows are the way.
I know, but it was a 2 hour line. It was like 2014, and I really wanted to go.
You should have told Mom Layla Rahimi. I'm bypassing the line.
Nobody cares about that. You wait with Kendrick Lamar fans just like everybody else.
You gotta know. You do know people. That's why it's not.
No.
We're going to work on this.
But that's rude. You don't do that when other people are waiting so long.
They don't need to know that. They just can think that you have special access.
The point is, Kendrick Lamar is important to everyone.
Okay.
You should cherish it.
I don't think he's important to everyone. My tweets
on
Super Bowl Sunday told me.
Lawyers.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Okay, getting back to the real story here, which is actually probably the Kendrick Lamar thing. No, it's Bears today spoke at Hallis Hall. We read some quotes from Ian Cunningham, but I understand we do have some audio in right now, and from TJ Edwards, because TJ Edwards was the winner for the veteran Brian Piccolo Award. It goes to both a rookie and a veteran. So the vet was TJ Edwards. We know he just signed a contract extension. And then also the rookie was Roma Dunze. So as we're getting this information in from Hallis Hall, we thought we would play some for you. So let's start with Edwards talking about his extension, because we haven't heard him yet. This is on The Score.
The new contract, how did that come about? And what did you want to get accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that happened after the season. I think for me, you know, I wanted to be here. I wanted to... I understand kind of what's building here. I understand kind of what, you know, once Coach Johnson got in here and the pieces we brought in, I really, you know, since I got here a couple years ago, I wanted to stay here and be a part of something that's special. I think I probably know a little better than some, but winning here is different. And, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to be, you know, a part of that group that did something special. So it was easy for me to try to you know, get something done, and I felt like Ryan was just open and transparent with me the entire time, and so I kind of understood where I standed with him and the team, and it was a easy thing to really want to get done for sure.
Did you feel that you outplayed your first contract? Did you ever look at it that way?
To me, it's one of those things to where I know it's right. It sounds kind of, you know, whatever, but I think. I come in and I understood the things that I didn't do well. I understood the areas, especially when you're losing. I understood that no one's done our part if we're losing and we're not where we want to be at the end of the season. So I didn't really look at it to where I was outperforming anything. I think for me, I was trying to be better than I was the game before. And I know that felt like at times I did that. I felt like at times I didn't. So, you know, obviously just excited to get this opportunity, but knowing that I think just respect in general is something that I've been kind of searching for in this league, something that, you know, since I came in as a rookie that I've always wanted to get. And I felt like here I was finally starting to kind of find my niche in a way and finally starting to come into my own shoes in that way. Yeah.
What does it mean to you, given your journey to this point, undrafted free agent, breaking into the league, fighting for a spot early on to now signing another deal here in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. I think when I'm done, you know, I'll go back and look at it and kind of look at the story as a whole and all those things. I think, again, you know, I've learned so much when you come into this league. When you're young, you know, that kind of pisses you off. You're undrafted, right? You're not getting any reps, anything like that. But you understand that once you get on the field, it doesn't matter kind of where you've, you know, your first round undrafted, things like that. You might get less reps, that's for sure. But I think I knew I had to go out and prove myself every day. And I think that that's something that stays with me. I find something every day where someone, you know, saying I'm too slow or someone whatever, I get to go out and prove them wrong. And I get to go out and prove the people right who believe in me. So
where's the early belief that you said you want to be part of something special here? Where does that belief come from already at this point?
Yeah, I think it's just the way we're operating. I feel like, again, Coach Johnson's just come in and done a great job of just putting his plan out, right? This is my seventh offseason, so I kind of have seen kind of what that looks like in a way, but I feel like he's coming at it from a way of just being open and direct. I think it's something we're all understanding that we just need to get better in general, you know, coaches included. But I think he's done a good job of just kind of getting everyone to understand where we're at and where we're trying to go.
So that was TJ Edwards, friend of the Midday Show, talking about his extension. And I like hearing his why, you know, the thing that makes his motor run, and knowing that he's still got a little bit of that memory that's vivid of not being drafted and how he was able to use it so well.
I think that's what's great about his story in general. I mean, here's a guy who's already played in a Super Bowl and now is getting the big extension that kind of validates that the move the Bears made to sign him in the first place. He's playing for his hometown team, and this has got to feel pretty good, especially when you consider the conditions that he played under last year. He and the rest of the Bears, they didn't have a good season, but he found a way to separate himself maybe from the blob of mediocrity to sub-mediocrity that was the majority of the Bears roster, let's be honest. And despite playing for different defensive coordinators, a failed head coach in Matt Eberflus, he did enough to prove his worth to the front office that you guys should keep me around and possibly even upgrade my position in what I'm doing on the field.
Right. And also when it comes to what the team means to him, what playing means to him with this group, you can just tell he's a leader. You can tell that from, I think, the very beginning. Even when we talked to him during one of the worst seasons he's probably had as a professional when it came to wins and losses and how it broke down, he was still so consistent, both on the field and then also in his answers to us. I'm not mad at anybody for saying how they felt. I thought that that was incredibly important. But he did too. And that's the point in this, is he felt the need to maintain calm and understand what his role was in all of this, and he owned that.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, hanging out with you. Score Middays. We're going through the sound that we've heard today from Hallis Hall. We heard from the GM, Ryan Poles. Ian Cunningham also spoke, the assistant general manager for the Bears. Also, the Piccolo Award winners, the rookie Roma Dunze and TJ Edwards, who you just heard from. He also talked about the possibility of potentially being moved from the weak side to the middle linebacker.
Dennis Allen said that you would have an opportunity to play in the middle and sometimes at outside backer. How do you view that opportunity this upcoming season?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely kind of mentioned that. And just in terms of, I think the way he's installing right now is just teaching concepts, right? So he wants everyone to kind of understand everything so that we can go out there and play fast no matter who's in what spot, right? Which is something I think as a defense, it helps you in the end, you know, understanding kind of how the whole picture fits. But to me, I think, you know, I'll kind of do whatever is asked of me. You know, I think I've got here. I played Mike mine, you know, most of my career, and got here and played a little bit of Will, played a lot of Will, and kind of got to understand that. You understand the areas I need to be better at, understand the things I do well. So I'm pretty comfortable in both. So I think Tremaine and, you know, the rest of the linebackers feel the same way. So I think for us, we're just trying to learn in general kind of the whole concepts of the defense. And then from there on out, we'll kind of figure out, I'm guessing, where we'll play.
I like hearing where they are in the process of learning a new defense under Dennis Allen. And of course, his versatility is the fact that he has played middle linebacker, which he did for the Bears, eventually becoming their starter, and then coming here playing more at the weak side. And he's like, I'm going to learn what all three positions do in this particular defense, the importance of each position to how we function as one unit, the 11. And I think he's ready to do whatever is asked of him. That's what TJ Edwards strikes me as, is a guy who will do whatever is asked of from the team.
I do like to hear what he thinks about install. You know, I think that's what they call this time of year. And if someone is new, you know, if there's a new system. So I appreciate his thoughts on just how he sees it all coming together. And the more we hear, you know, there are some guys who are familiar with other coaches' defenses just as students of the league. Like, I've heard Jalen Johnson talk about Robert Saleh's defense, for example. So all of that plays a part when it comes to just seeing how they see it, how they visualize it. Again, immersing us in what we don't know to expect yet out of these players.
When I take in what the players are saying right now, the most I can glean from it is what the process is specifically to this moment, especially pre-draft. They've had one time where they've gotten together as a group. This will be the second time. And then, of course, after the draft, you'll have the rookie minicamp and everything else. So you're kind of slowly building your knowledge about a new coaching staff, a new team, even though it has some of the same players, because you're trying to figure out what's going to be different from the last time we saw this team on the field when they endured a 10-game losing streak. And what's going to be different in terms of not necessarily the attitude, but what's expected from them, from the coaching staff, given how everything went down last year.
And congratulations again to TJ Edwards to win an award that means so much to the Bears on your home team for being who you are and getting an extension. That's a heck of an offseason.
Thoughtful young man who's not afraid to try to answer a question while at the same time preserving the sanctity of the locker room, however you want to describe it. He'll give you something, but he's not going to sit here and spill all the tea, which, of course, as I said earlier in the show, I like tea.
The point is to be as authentic as you can be. And I think he does that, and he's being rewarded for it too. So congrats again to TJ Edwards. Coming up next on The Score, let's get a report from Hallis Hall. Chris Emma was there. He's talked a lot about trading picks in the draft. Sounds like there might be more people in that same boat. So we'll examine that. That's coming up next here on the Midday Show on The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Oh, so that's it, huh? That's the open. And now on the Score Midday Show, here's five words about Chris Emma.
Some people like Chris Emma. It is five words.
You counted. Heard me. Thank you to everybody telling me I get to, like, manifesting for me to go see Kendrick Lamar live. That is also wonderful. Chris Emma joins us, the Score Midday Show. That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today.
Did Chris pick this music? That's my next question. It's like this.
Chris, we have a lot of questions about your intro. How do you feel about this?
Hey, I'm honored. It's great to have a bumper intro in the first place, man. It's cool. I grew up on the Score. I'll gladly take an intro, even if it's my guy Grody warming me up a little bit.
Chris, you're a paid employee. The intro cannot be some people like Chris Emma.
I'll take whatever I can get, Layla. It's fine by me.
What if it's most people love Chris Emma? How about that? I think that's more apt.
You know, we can mix that in then. I appreciate that, Marshall.
I love apt, too, by the way. That's the point of this.
I learned that because apartment is short. APT. And also, that's also a word.
But also ABT, the store that has everything.
Oh, that's a proper noun, though, so it doesn't fit into my Scrabble
The
complex.
Point is, all of these things are good, including us having you on your show. Okay, so I was reminded, Chris, of the article that you wrote where we were talking about pick value in the NFL draft and how the Bears could be trading. What's one of the first things we hear out of Ryan Poles earlier today? That it could get wild. And he talked about that very thing. What was your interpretation of what you heard today?
It kind of adds up to what I did write. I think that was about a month ago or maybe just a few weeks ago about the idea of value in these picks. You're going to be able to make some moves and you're not going to have to give up a premium like in years past. This is a very tradable draft, and this is a draft in which you can move up to get a blue chip type prospect in the top five if you want, where the Bears are sitting currently at 10. I don't think Ryan Poles or Ian Cunningham are talking about the Bears as much as just moving around the league. I had a league source hit me up earlier and mentioned the idea of the 49ers as a possible team. That's one to watch for the Bears, given that they're at pick 11, one spot behind the Bears. I think that's a team when you look at potential trades up. I think the Niners are certainly in play. Now, from the Bears' perspective, you start thinking about who are they going for? Are they trying to jump us? Are they going up to pick 8 or 9 and really just jump the pack? Are they going all the way into the top 5 or top 3 and making that bold move? A lot of talk today about picks 2 and 3 with the Browns and the Giants. Those are certainly potential landing spots, and I think those two teams would love to make that move down if possible. So it's going to be really fascinating. We got just over 48 hours until the Titans go on the clock with the number one pick. I think everybody sees Cam Ward as that guy. And it's kind of uncertainty after that and a lot of fascination.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned the 49ers specifically because they're getting old, one. Two,
yep.
Their needs kind of match the Bears' overall needs heading into the offseason anyway when we talk about offensive and defensive line. And I'm looking more offensive line if they were to happen to leapfrog the Bears. Is that a concern or is that just knocking a player down that maybe the Bears might want, such as an Ashton Jeanty, or even one of the tight ends?
If I had to pick, and I've not heard this definitively by any means, but I think if the Niners were that team to move up, it'd be for a defensive lineman. It'd be for Mason Graham and securing him, or even Abdul Carter if he falls. But the thing to watch now from the Bears' perspective, and they certainly seem to be wired in, is the idea that the 49ers could potentially be a team where they have similar needs, as you mentioned, Marshall, and they're looking at the same guys who are falling with those gleaming eyes, feeling really good about that spot. So that's one scenario in which the Bears have to look out. And look, there's also history between the Bears and 49ers with these draft day trades. And there's John Lynch. I know it's a different regime here in House Hall, but John Lynch, I think, is trying to play his cards right here. So we'll see. I think there's a lot more scenarios that we don't know about yet that are taking place. And Ryan Poles said his phone is ringing. I'm sure general managers all across the league had their phones ringing. So a lot to watch unfold here in the next 48 plus hours.
I mean, it really is interesting. And Ryan Poles will actually tell you some stuff. Like, I had a good laugh when Brad Biggs asked what the consideration is at 10. I think Biggs knew he was trying to ask for some sort of ballpark discussion. And unfortunately, Poles just was like, well, we like everybody, essentially, is what he said. But when it came to clarifying that part of it, like the part that could get wild, knowing that he has been a wheeler and dealer in these drafts previously, he must know something because he typically doesn't just say things to say stuff like that.
Maybe it's notable reading into this, if you will. I kind of did a bit the idea of in the past, Ryan Poles has given a number of that cloud, how many guys are in their cloud and who they're really coveting. And it's sometimes if you're certainly last year for the number one pick, you knew who you were getting. But years past, just kind of narrowing down this decision, I think they're kind of embracing the idea that, yes, you could get a really good player to follow you at 10. But I certainly think there's a prospect in which they move up from pick 10. Maybe it's to 8 or 7. Maybe it's into the top 5. Pick 4 with the Patriots, for example, is a spot there. I think that's very much in play. And I think all options are on the table. This is a draft where you can sit back at 10 and you can get somebody to feel really good about. Let's call, I don't know, Will Campbell, whoever it might be, somebody like that, Membu, and say, man, we got our guy. We feel really strongly. But those blue chip prospects, there's only a few of those in this draft. If you want that guy, if it's Ashton Jeanty, if it's Tyler Warren, if it's Mason Graham, Abdul Carter, you can make that aggressive move up and say, we got our guy. We only had to give up a 2 and, you know, swap whatever else. Like, you feel strongly about that scenario if you're the Bears. So I'm fascinated to see by how many guys they truly value versus guys they're simply comfortable taking.
I don't think anybody argues that they value Ashton Jeanty. It's just a matter of what they're willing to give up for him. I don't want them trading up for Ashton Jeanty, given the needs that this Bears team has and the depth of the running back class. Do you see Ashton Jeanty as that big of a cut above the rest that they should be even entertaining the idea of trading up to be in a spot to maybe get him?
I do. And Marshall, I'm with you. I would not advocate for it per se, but if they made that move, I would accept it. I would say, man, they feel really strongly about this roster. They really, really value their head coach's input. And this is a move that shows they believe they can win a championship this year, if not in the coming years. Like, you're drafting a running back and you're getting a ton of production early on. And that's a guy who's going to carry your offense in a lot of ways for 4, 5, 6 years. And that shelf life runs out versus taking a tackle, which is 10 plus year investment if everything goes really well. You understand that. I asked Ian Cunningham about that today. And he said, look, if it's a playmaker, if it's somebody you feel really strongly about, premium position or not, you take that playmaker. And I was asking about the running back position. I didn't say Ashton Jeanty's name, but he knew who I was talking about. And the answer there said that they're willing to make that move and they feel really strongly about what Ashton Jeanty or maybe Omarion Hampton can bring for this offense. And they're perfectly comfortable taking that guy if he's available for them right there, in whether it's pick 10, maybe it's moving up. I think they feel really strongly about the options in play.
Talking to the Score Bears reporter Chris Emma here on the Midday Show. Chris, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but what were your other takeaways, particularly from what Ian Cunningham had to say?
I think we've covered a good amount of that. I think they just feel really strongly about their position with 10. And, you know, playing out some of the scenarios, and I'm using PFF or whatever else, they're using their own internal stuff and all the technology, not to mention all the intel they have. I think they feel really strongly about pick 10. I thought for a bit it might be a little bit of no man's land where you're kind of settling for maybe one or two guys you truly value. I think the variability now is going to really shake this thing out to where they're going to get somebody they love at that spot if they want to sit back there and wait. And the quarterback thing is going to be fascinating to watch. I think Shedeur Sanders, I still think he's going to go in the top 10. I know there's a lot of talk about him falling. I don't buy it. I still think he could go 3 to the Giants, honestly. Jackson Dart, I think he's very much in play for the Saints at 9. I have that as a mock draft pick. Derek Carr right now looks like he might be out for a long time, if not the whole season. And rebuilding with Kellen Moore, you'd love to get that quarterback. That's going to be a really interesting spot to watch come Thursday night, right ahead of the Bears at pick number 9. Last year we saw it with the Bears sitting at 9, and there were the Falcons taking Michael Penix, and nobody saw that coming. The Bears would love to have 2 or certainly 3 quarterbacks go ahead of them in the top 9 if they're sitting there at pick 10. There's just going to be a lot of fascination with this draft, and today talk with Ryan Poles and Cunningham kind of it reaffirmed what I felt, which is this is going to be a really wild, open, and fun draft ahead of us. So I think the Bears are in a really good spot. I do.
Up against the clock here, but I'm just curious, if the, let's say 3 quarterbacks do go before the 10th pick, who would you like to see the Bears take there versus who would you like to see the Bears take at 10 if only 1 quarterback is off the board?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have my mock draft on 670thescore.com. I have Will Campbell as that guy for the Bears. And it's going to take some variability, and it's going to take some quarterbacks going. I have 3 quarterbacks in the top 9. That's how Will Campbell falls to you. And you might look at it and say, I don't know about that. I think he's going to go higher. I just don't see it happening with the quarterbacks. But weird stuff happens in these drafts. And that's why what the Bears do is playing out every single scenario possible and imagining what could take place for them. I think that's where the comfort is. That's where those wry smiles you saw today from Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, they feel really strongly. They feel really good about how this is going to take place. They don't know what's going to happen. I think they're starting to get a sense of some of the variables in play ahead of them, but I think they feel really good about where they are with pick 10.
Chris Emma, the Bears reporter for The Score, we appreciate you doing work for us at Halas Hall and joining us here on the Midday Show on The Score.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
That was Chris Emma joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Coming up next, one of our favorite guests, Nate Tice, joins us to talk about the NFL and the draft. That is next on the Midday Show here on The Score, Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi and you.